This is KFAEDQ, listening to Statewide 1.
KEARUH from WAFU.
RUH? Monitoring?
KEARUH, KEARUH, NAWRO. You on the road, Anthony? Negative copy, NAWRO, listening.
N8WRO, this is N8ZC. Good late morning, early afternoon, not quite afternoon. Anyway, thought I'd say hi.
Oh, yeah, I think it's still close enough in the morning. We've got about a half hour left. N8ZC, N8Z Charlie, I guess. N8WRO here, Richmond. How you doing?
Oh, doing pretty good. Trying to enjoy the beautiful morning. My dog Higgins and I took an early morning walk while it was still foggy and the sun was coming up, so that was really nice. Got 3.5 miles in, came home, had another cup of coffee, ate some breakfast, and now I am playing with a code plug for another HT DMR radio I got. Change it up a little bit, because this one I'm talking to you on now, I just got it, and I like it a whole lot better. So anyway, and other than that, got to go out and do some work on my truck, so I'm going to probably call it quits here shortly and go out and work on my truck. How about you?
I'm with the ARPSC group here in Macomb, and we had a nice meeting last night. And we're getting heavy into the DMR side of it, so that's good. I will be probably doing some more programming for my got a Connect Systems radio here, 800D+. And I think I'm going to be doing the same thing, putting a few more sites in for the Central Michigan network. But, yeah, we're really enjoying it. And it's interesting because the new guys we're getting, they all come in with DMR radios. So, whoa, this is turning into something here. So, sounds good. Over to you.
Yeah, I've been listening to the Statewide one and do quite a bit here. Seems how I'm a couple of miles anyways, because bird flies from the Bancroft machine. So I kind of try to listen to it because I can hit it sitting at my desk in the house. With the HT, so, but, yeah, I've been kind of noticing you guys are pretty thick into DMR, which is cool, of all the different modes, namely Wires X, System Fusion. DMR is way cooler. Well, I think, anyway. But, yeah, it's pretty cool to hear activity on the Statewide one, anyway. Yeah, here in Shiawassee County, everybody's D-Star, so, and I never did get on board the D-Star either. Timing out. N8ZC.
N8WRO. Yeah, we had that same conversation last night. It came up, but in this area, now it's really primarily DMR. I mean, Central Michigan, we have a site in Mount Clemens. I'm in Richmond at the north side of the county. I can hit the Clem pretty good. That's what I'm on. We do have a Richmond tower for the another network here for it's called the FBI network. I think in future, hopefully not too long, we're going to get a DMR on that tower as well. What that'll do is cover St. Clair County to the north and east of where I'm at. And then I also put in a site, one of the sites north of me called Burnside. So, and then another one I'm going to put in will be Detroit, and then I'll just work from there. But this is going to primarily be a base, so I guess I don't necessarily have to throw a lot of them in. But, yeah, we like how it works. Over to you.
Oh, yeah. I tend to put all of them in the radio, so that way with talk around, roaming, whatever they want to call it, depending on which radio you got. I'd be able to do that when I'm traveling around, mostly just in the Shiawassee, Eaton County areas, but nonetheless, while I'm thinking of it, first off, I don't think I introduced myself. My name's Kerry. That's Charlie Alpha Romeo Yankee, and yeah, you had the call right on November 8th, Zulu Charlie. Oh, and then you talk about the FBI. Is that the, what do they call it, the Flying Deers International or something like that? I'm back to you, Lenny. Let's see.
Yeah, bingo, that's the one. It's a, you know, good network locally here. And then they're associated as well, so they can connect or disconnect from the network there. So, you know, we've got options. And then for our ARPSC group, we have a VHF repeater. It's a 147.2, and that's in Mount Clemens. But they do have a – they just put in this year a receive site up north here in Richmond and a receive site down in Warren for that, so that our members north and south can get into the machine, because we all pretty much can hear the transmission from Mount Clemens centrally located. It was getting into the machine with HTs or, you know, mobiles. It was nice with that receive. So that was an interesting thing, because we're used to repeaters. You know, a site is a repeater, does both. But no, all you really need is the receive side. It's a good application of that. Yeah, the name here is Tim Tango India Mike. Over to you, Kerry.
Well, it's nice to make your acquaintance, Tim. And, yeah, it sounds like you guys got a lot going on down there, which is way cool. Not much here in Shiawassee County. So when I used to live in Ingham County, I was involved with all that stuff, races and whatnot. I was racing certified and was actually the second in command, if you will, at one time. But those were many moons ago. So I find it kind of fascinating to pay attention to what's going on and whatnot. But, let's see. Oh, I know another question you might be able to answer. Seemed like some of you guys were talking a couple times. I've heard that they are into the MI5 group via hotspots. I thought MI5 didn't do anything with Brandmeister, so I was curious about that one, too. Back to you. That ain't good to
me. Yeah, unfortunately, that's not my area of so-called expertise. But there is one of our group, Tom. I'm going to call him a road warrior. He's out here a lot. His call is KC8KJO, Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar. And he's really good on that. Apparently, you can get in with Brandmeister, but there's a certain talk group you have to be on that. But beyond that, I don't know. But it can be done. But if you ever hear Tom out here, he likes talking. So, you know, go ahead and throw your call out. Over to you.
Well, I'll leave a pause, make sure everything drops properly, and two, if anybody else wants to join in, I suppose. Tom, could you throw me his last part of his call again? It was KC8, and I was outside, so now I'm going to come in and write it down so I can kind of get used to everybody's calls a little bit.
Oh, sure thing. He's, I know he's working today. He's a service tech for a particular company, and he goes all over this place. He does have a Motorola. And he does the roaming, so he's got all the sites in for Central Michigan on, you know, for statewide 1 and 2. And we were allowed to put the event frequencies in. There's a special event coming up for the set coming up in October 4th. Anyways, his call, Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar, KC8KJO. He is, Tom is also a member of the ARPSC up here, and he's in the town just north of me. It's a town called Memphis, and they straddle the Macomb County, St. Clair border. But, yeah, he really pushes the system to the test with, you know, just the way he travels from point A to B. So at one point he might be in Kalamazoo, and then he comes right over to Ann Arbor, then he comes down to Detroit, and sometimes he even goes points north. But his equipment is really nice with that roaming capability. Over to you.
Oh, yeah. Now I recognize him, and I guess my memory was doing a little bit better than I thought for the 20-foot walk I had to do to write that down. anyway. But, yeah, I'll have to pay attention and ask him about it. I'd be curious. I mean, I have a hot spot here because the only thing DMR in Shiawassee County is the Bancroft link, which is okay, but I got a couple of acquaintances, I guess, over in Ingham County. This repeater site over there, I'm not sure. I have to look. Is it KV8FXK? I think he has something to do with the MI5 group, but I think he is one of the, I'll say managers. I don't know if that's right or not, in the Ingham County link, but I can't hit that from here, so not that I need to, but he has his own Grandmeister. And I'm going to time out. I got to figure out.
Well, go ahead. Come back. Finish your thought there. You might be talking about Jeff, KV8SWR.
Okay. Am I actually timing out? You might comment on that because I'm getting an alarm on my end. And it's like, I got it set for 3 minutes. What the heck? Anyway, I know of SWR. As a matter of fact, SXK, his name is Jeff Holberg. And I don't know, it seemed like he at one time anyway had something to do with the group over there. They're setting everything up because he's a radio guy. I think he's former Motorola rep or service tech or something like that. But he's retired now for the last few years. Now go ahead. NAZC.
I might get me an HT. We'll see. This Kinect system radio is new to me. And one of the guys said, hey, it almost looks like a Motorola clone. So, and so far, so good. You know, we'll see. But I want to put it through its test during the set we're having. It's a special drill that the ARPSC and Aries runs. We're doing the fall set on not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow, October 4th. And, I'm on the outside in the field playing, so to speak, so I'm not privy to what the scenario is going to be, so this is going to be fun. And I will team up with Tom from the north. I'm going to go pick him up, and then we'll be a two-man unit, and we're going to see where they dispatch us to and what they have us do. So actually, at the end of the day, it's a pretty fun day to do that. So, all right, back over to you.
I missed the first part of what you were talking about there, but yeah, a couple of seconds cut off on me or something. Maybe I should quit wandering around or something. anyway, I don't know. The wonders of DMR, I suppose, or just HDs, trying to rely on them. But, yeah, it sounds like you guys got a lot of fun stuff going on over there. That'd be kind of fun. And I remember the old tabletops and whatnot. And back in the day, they were always interesting to do, so. Well, cool. That's pretty interesting. It'll be, that's what I was going to comment, too, is the event channels. If I have those programmed into my VMR radios, but I tell them that they're receive only, so in case something fascinating happens on them, because I'm on the mailing list, so if anything comes up where they, assign a vent channel, I can at least listen to what's going on. So, farm, let's see.
Yeah, it's funny you just brought that up. I did a little bit short PowerPoint presentation last night for the new guys because there's so many new ones coming in. I say, number one, get on that list for Central Michigan. Because we just all programmed the event channels in, and then I had to, make sure they understood. It's very clear on their webpage. You don't use those. You're not for normal QSOs. But when you're authorized, like we're going to be on the set Saturday, then we can go up there. So we did do some testing on event one, which is the one that we're going to be We just need to make sure everyone could do it, and they all did. They all get the T-shirt, so that on set day we'll be ready to go for those that are qualified with DMR. We have members that don't have it as well, and it doesn't matter. We'll make it work. But yeah, you got to be on that list so that they can send you that as part of the deal. And now their radio is complete. Their code plug is more or less complete with all the talk groups in there. NAWRO, I'm going to make this my last because I want to get out to the bank and maybe get some lunch while I'm out. Over to you, Carrie, and a pleasure as hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Enjoy this beautiful weather anyways. We don't see a cloud in the sky around here. But, yeah, I'm going to get my butt moving here, too, and yeah, I'll be hanging around. Like I said, I'm usually always listening and whatnot, so hopefully we'll catch you again here soon. NAWRO, this is NAZC, and I'll be listening.
Have a good one. NAWRO, clear.
KAEPL on statewide one.
NAWCB monitoring statewide one.
NAWCB, NAWCB, this is NAWRO Richmond. I'll copy.
NAWRO, this is NAWCB. You are loud and clear.
You as well, sir. This is Tim up here. I don't know if David got a chance to tell you, we had a pretty good meeting last night. Quite enjoyed it.
That's what I'm hearing, or that's what I'm seeing on the app there. I'm looking forward to seeing the pictures, and I understand the audio didn't work out very well, but, you know, that's all right. That happens, and I guess David said that he'd probably try to re-record it or something.
Yeah, that's correct. He tried it, and I was wondering how it's going to work out. You know, it's, you know, he even handed me a mic for my little bit, and you know, we gave it a good college try, I guess. But it apparently didn't work out. He didn't think so on the way home when we had a little QSO on the 7.2. But yeah, we get some. We keep on getting new people. I'm really I was a little bit concerned about that postcard project because it was a little lag time, I guess. And then all of a sudden, now we're starting getting people coming in. So you know what? It is definitely worth it. NAWRO, over to you.
NAWCB. Yeah, I think it's a great idea. And, again, it's one of those things, you know, that it takes time. And, you know, you send maybe, 10 out and, you know, hey, you get a couple of back. That's an encouraging sign. So I appreciate you guys, your efforts there in doing that. It sounds like something that's catching on from what I'm hearing. So I think it's a good process there to do. Definitely need that follow up and at least point people in the right direction that are moving it in the area or new hands.
Well, it's definitely a trick from the old playbook because I think years ago. I can't remember if it was USICA or who it was, but, they used to do that to try to increase club membership. So I figured, hey, let's go old school. Let's go with the U.S. Post Office, you know, instead of all the TikTok and everything. But we're going to do that as well, and that's fine. We can have options here to get the word out. But, it seemed to work. And then the other way I did it was we're always going to do the new hands. If you get a new ticket in Macomb County, let's get you a postcard. It's a welcome to the ham radio community. And if you join, fine. If not, somebody's got to welcome you. And we don't necessarily need a return on investment on that one. But the one I did recently was a new DMR ID in Macomb County. Then we know you're an active ham. I don't care how long you've had your ticket. So we sent a whole bunch of those out. So we'll see about that. Back over to you.
Roger that. Yes, that's various avenues. Whether it's snail mail or the more more modern TikTok or those types of things and everything in between. Like I say, it's a good way to encourage a new ham or you know, somebody with a DMR or just various various niches, various groups there to get involved. And like you say, at least, you know, it may not be a return on the investment, but at least hams have, you know, have always, you know, reached out to others to help out. I talked to a guy the other day and basically reiterated the same thing, you know, just in helping, you know, newer hams out. Back to you.
Yes, indeed. That's the way it should be. So I'm glad it's working out, and I'm looking forward to the set. And we were briefed on your role there, so that's going to be very good. And just I'm looking to play in the field this time. I don't really want to know too much of the inside because I'm going to be on the outside. So, yeah, we're really looking forward to that. Tom in Memphis, he's going to ride with me, so we'll be a two-man unit. So to speak. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
I agree. Yes, and I'm looking forward to it as well. And yeah, it will. I'm sure the set will turn out well. Again, it's a good opportunity. It's better to find it out now and you know, work all the kinks and the bugs out. And plus, you know, you can use your equipment and skills and knowledge, and you got two of you riding together, and that's all right. You know, you bounce some ideas off each other and that, and again, it's just a good day to fellowship with other hams out there.
Yep, indeed. Well, all right, Dave, pleasure talking. We got to, you know, kind of chat every now and then because, you know, we're at home and retired, so... We got more time, but I'll cut you loose for now. I'll be on this afternoon, still same thing, so on Statewide 1 here. So any WRO after yours, I'll be listening out.
Well, it's good to finally talk with you there. Thanks for reaching out or answering back. Wanted to test the radio out here, and good making contact. And, yeah, we'll have to do this more often. Like I say, I don't get out very much anymore. So, anyway, I hope you have a good day and a good weekend. 73's NAWRO signed. NAWCB is clear.
Kilo Echo 8, Lima Alpha X-ray, monitoring Statewide 1. Kilo Echo 8, Lima Alpha X-ray, monitoring Statewide 1. KE8WUO, is that you, Dean?
KEAWUO, this is KEALAX. Yes, John, this is Dean. How late did you end up staying last night?
I was in the parking lot until about 11:45. I was definitely there awfully late. Didn't get home until a little after midnight, and then I couldn't quite go to bed until like 1:30. So I was out pretty late. I was pretty tired this morning. But I did finally get out of there. Did you see David's asking if you'll take pictures at the meetings?
Please repeat.
Yeah, KEAWUO. Not 100% sure what you didn't hear, but Dave was asking in the Discord if you would want to take pictures at the meetings.
Yeah, I didn't catch that, but I'll respond. For the meetings, I've got no issues with it. I'll probably use my other camera. It's a little less high end, but it still definitely gets the job done with the right lens. For special events and stuff, I have no problem using the big one, but you know, I'm still one of those shutter count guys where they do eventually wear out. So, but yeah, I've got absolutely no issues with that. I'll if it's on the Discord, I'll respond to it in a little bit. I'm currently sitting in front of Anchor Bay High, waiting for my daughter to get out.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't think we, you know, are too picky as to you know, which camera you use. I think it'd just be nice to have some pictures for our little newsletters and whatnot. And, yeah, it'd be better than, you know, iPhone pictures. So that, especially if it, you know, is a photography camera, and I think you mentioned the lenses. So, yeah, that'll be nice. But it's not critical. It's just seemed like something that you might be interested in. So I think they've thought it would be a good idea to reach out to you.
K-E-8-L-A-X. Yeah, I have no issues with that. Now, that's the kind of documentation that I like doing. So, yes, I've got absolutely no issues with that. Especially one of my thoughts was, you know, stuff for pictures and stuff. I don't know if it's anybody's. I know I brought it up once, but I don't know if it's been brought up beyond that. But the Facebook page has virtually almost no traffic on it. And I know there was traffic on TikTok. I personally don't use TikTok, but when I went to the Facebook page, when I was first thinking about coming up, I realized there was no traffic, no updates. Nothing on there.
Yeah, I think it's all a work in progress. It's definitely something that, you know, like Dave always says, if there's something that you want to help with, say something, and he'll either tell you yay or nay. But yeah, I do believe he's got a lot of things in the works as far as all that goes, but it couldn't hurt to you know, offer some help. So, but even just having, you know, the multimedia, you know, the pictures and videos, would be very, very helpful to that front. So, but yeah, I don't know. You doing anything this weekend? I think Darren and I might run up to Stony Creek and try doing some radio stuff.
What day this weekend are you guys thinking?
I think it would have to be probably Sunday would be the better day. But I have a birthday party I gotta stop in at in like Grosse Pointe at 4 o'clock ish, so on Saturday. So I can do stuff in the morning on Saturday, and then I'm open all day Sunday. So somewhere in there.
Generally I'm open Sundays. So I guess keep me updated, and I'll put that as a candidate. It definitely sounds fun. Either Friday or Saturday, I have to help with some wiring in the house and get some stuff done around my house a little bit, and then some usually leave for the relay.
Copy that. Yeah. I thought about putting a little invite in the group once I know exactly what they were scheduling, but I think it'd be fun. We planned to, you know, point some Yagis at the Renton and see if we could do any wind link from Stony Creek, and just kind of try to get the wind link stuff polished off and, you know, do a little just plain radio, maybe a little mini fox hunt. I got that fox all kind of a lot closer to where I want it to be, so it's pretty much, you won't really notice a difference, but the internals are totally different, so it's kind of cool. But yeah, I'll keep you posted. I gotta talk to Darren and see what time is good for him, and if sounds like Sunday is open for you, so Sunday is probably our best option. I just gotta figure out the times. But I'll put it in the Discord as soon as I see what seems like it'll work. This is K-E-8-W-U-O.
K-E-8-W-U-O is K-E-8-L-E-X. That definitely sounds good. I also gotta work on, because I'm having issues with my truck, and that's where my mobile is. So I'm trying to find a Mac Mount NMO to put on my car, because my wife, I think, would kill me if I drilled a hole in the roof of the car.
So I'm trying to find that so I can just swap over my routing antenna from the truck to the car. So I've got something decent, a mobile for the set.
Copy that. Well, I have a BNC mount, magnet mount that you're more than welcome to use for the set. And then I have, you know, BNC antennas that we can attach to that. So if you need something and you don't want to poke a hole in your roof and you don't want to spend money on something, you know, you don't necessarily need right now, or if you don't want to take apart your setup or whatever, you know, you can always do that. So it's there if you need it. I've never used it. It's still wrapped up in the case, and it's in my van. It kind of lives there all the time, but I've got hard-mounted stuff up there. So, but yeah, it's up to you.
I appreciate it. And I'll definitely keep it in mind. I haven't decided if I want to have something, just spend some money on something, so I do have something extra that I can swap between vehicles if necessary. I think it's a good idea for a go situation anyway. But yeah, I might take you up on it.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I think it's definitely a good idea to have for a go situation, and that's kind of why I have it. And the idea is that I could technically take, you know, one of those BNC antennas that I gave to Darren, because I have a few of them, and you could take it off of your radio and then just put it on your mag mount on top of the car, and it's just kind of a clean, quick, you know, easy to deploy thing. So I would definitely suggest getting one, especially because then you can have something at the base station at home and something mobile for in the car. So in case you and someone need to communicate with each other, you're able to. But yeah, you're more than welcome to use mine for the time being until, you know, it makes sense to make that purchase and go that route and you figure out what exactly you want to do. So it's there if you need it.
K-E-A-W-U-O-K-E-A-L-A-X. Now, for mobile antennas, what do you like for mounts? Because when I took it, I went for a mobile. NMO seemed to be a really nice, sturdy option. And then now I'm seeing a lot of people that are just using all sorts of everything. You just mentioned BNC. I didn't even know that that was an option for mobile antennas.
Well, yeah, I mean, it kind of depends on what radio you're trying to connect to it. And since I'm mainly working with HTs and I just route the antenna to the top, you know, having an antenna that can attach that's BNC is nice for an HT. And it's nice because it's mobile. You know, you can just throw it up there and boogie. But if you have the need for, like, a permanent mount, like all the antennas on my roof are all NMO, and I highly suggest those. There's some really good ones out there. I got mine from DX Engineering, where you drill the little hole. It's got a, you know, O-ring seal. It just threw bolts, you know, from up above, and it's really easy to install, and it's super secure. So that's what I would suggest for, like, a more permanent install. But if you're doing a magnet mount, it shouldn't really, you know, probably an NMO would still be good for a magnet mount because it lets you do a few different, you know, it's just a little bit better for mobile antennas. But if you're like me, you know, happy to use that tall, you know, other antenna, basically kind of like a mobile antenna or a handheld antenna, on top of the car, then, you know, it's really probably the best way would be an NMO mount with an official, like, car rated wind loaded, you know, antenna. But that's up to you, and kind of goes on what your use case will be.
Okay, so I would probably stick with the NMO idea with, like, a mag mount for the cars that I can't, you know, punch a hole in. So that's what I did with my truck, and I love that antenna. I don't remember the exact model number. I know it's a Browning dual band, but that antenna's been great, and I've been using that ever since I got my ticket. So I'm probably about 5 years I've had that antenna, and I've swapped it between three trucks, and it's been absolutely amazing to me. So back over to you, Jeff.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I think the NMO mount would probably be the best, most secure way to go. The only thing I would suggest, and it sounds like you've run one for a while, but I've somehow burned through two of them before I went to the more permanent mounts, because I never secured the cable, and the wind, you know, makes that thing go back and forth, and it's rubbing on top of the van, and it basically rubbed it down to the sheathing of the ground, and so I stopped running it because I anticipated that before long it would destroy my radio, because it's basically, you know, going to start shorting out for the truck, or, you know, it's just a compromised feed line, so I wanted to phase that out. But yeah, if you're going to run that, there's, you know, Amazon makes little adhesive things for your car, but they also make little magnetic things that can hold that cable and prevent it from, you know, rubbing itself to death.
Yeah, I think for a temporary idea, I think slapping something up there, slapping an antenna up there, making sure everything matches with the VNA, and even using some masking tape just to hold the cable in place. Not like the antenna is going to stay on there. Like I said, the wife would kill me if I left an antenna on her car. But I think that would be a fairly solid option for a temporary setup.
Yeah, I agree. I think that would be probably a great way to go.
This is KELAX. Did you copy my last?
No, I must not have. It was eerily quiet, and I started getting distracted.
Oh, I was just saying, since I'm speaking with you, I need to throw a few of those SMA to BMC connectors, adapters for my radios. I like that setup that you have.
Yeah, it's a really versatile setup for HTs, where you can, especially, you know, technically, if you're using GMRS, you should probably switch to a GMRS antenna. And, you know, if you're using marine band, which, you know, I kind of do because I go out on boats and whatnot, you know, having the BNCs to just be able to quickly switch antennas is kind of nice. But, and then also being able to go from, you know, a mag mount that I can throw on top of my car or on top of the bleachers or something. And then, you know, have something with a little bit more height. I can maybe hoist it into a tree with a ground plane attached to the bottom of it. And, you know, it just makes for the setup to be a little bit nicer for an HT. I kind of rely on HTs. I don't have any mobiles. And so my setup has always kind of tailored towards finding a better, you know, being adaptable with the antennas that I have.
And there is nothing wrong with that. I like my mobiles just for a little extra power. But other than that, I primarily run off of HT as well. But I kind of just slap an antenna on there that's going to work good and just let it rock. I just let it rock.
Yeah, one of the things I always liked was, like, the roll-up J-poles, because those are, like, something, you know, a lot of the radio that I wanted to do would be, like, you know, backpacking, hiking, keeping tabs on other hiking groups and stuff like that, and just kind of spreading out and enjoying the landscape, but then also having the capabilities of radio. You know, a lot of me comes from Colorado, where you're up in the mountains and you need to, you know, throw your signal in different clever ways. And you know, using the trees around you to hoist up a J-pole that's attached to your HT is, you know, a really good way to get out further than you would normally be able to. And so it's just kind of like a little bit of STHF thinking and just, you know, kind of playing with different antennas and different setups and seeing, you know, testing the edge cases of where I can reach and what I can do. And so, I don't know, just my weird thing. Eventually I'll get some mobiles and probably still do the same thing with various antennas, but a little bit more power.
Eventually my goal would to be to build kind of like a GoBox setup, like what was shown last night. I actually really do like that setup. But set it up a little more like you were saying, a roll-up antenna or something like that that you can throw some paracord or what have you in a hoist to line up. I think that would be very cool.
Yeah, ultimately a little bit of every option would be ideal. You know, having the vertical is nice when you're already at the top of something and there's nothing to really hoist it up taller. So even having like a mast wouldn't be horrible. And then I like the idea of a go box that even has a magnet mount, you know, so that if you have to be mobile, you can. But I don't know, just it's lots of options. So that's the fun. But yeah, I kind of want to build a go kit too. I like doing that kind of stuff myself. So. It's a fun thing to do to keep me out of trouble.
I don't know if keeping any of us out of trouble is actually a possibility, but I do completely understand. Yeah, like I said, I was really interested in that kit, and I noticed that somebody has a 3D printer because a lot of that stuff has some nice prints with some pretty cool ideas. So that one's born. Yes, I do like that idea, especially for what we would potentially be doing. Having a mag mount set up in that kit is definitely, in my opinion, a really good idea. In fact, we've got the third kit, E8LAX.
Yeah, it's just so small, it'd be easy to do. But at the same time, I think he's going to put a plate in there, a ground plane, and, you know, I assume it's basically going to be creating essentially the same thing with magnetic, but yeah, no, I don't know, I think both would be a good idea. You know, that's what's cool about Go Kits is you can kind of define what that is to you and make it the way that you think it should be, so... Yeah, those are cool. I look forward to playing with one and having a little bit more power. So that'll be right up my alley. I think if I build one, I might do something that could do DMR and analog on VHF and UHF, just so that I can then the analog repeaters, and then I also have the DMR option. So that might be cool.
Agreed. I think DMR can turn into a valuable asset, for sure. It's just another tool. Where I struggle with the DMR analog is I wish I could find something that you could listen and operate on DMR, but quickly switch over, or even do like a dual watch, like one's watching, let's say, statewide one, while the other one's on 7.2, and easily be able to switch between channel A and channel B and operate on it. I've yet to find something that can do that. I could very well be wrong and be missing something completely, but I haven't found one yet.
I left a little gap in case anyone wanted to jump in there, but this is KE8WUO. Yeah, and, you know, you bring up a good point, and that was kind of one of my points the other day is having a radio that does all these bands isn't really as useful as having three radios that do all these bands, you know. having a dedicated P25 setup, a dedicated DMR setup, and a dedicated analog setup that can all be used independently and simultaneously is a real good idea. So that's definitely something that should be considered when making, you know, that style of a Go Box, depending on your needs. You might, I mean, I know I would want HF in mine as well. So it's like, okay, that's a lot of radios in one little Go Kit. It's not really a Go Kit anymore. It's, what do they call it, a ham shack in a box. So I don't know. That's the problem with that I always have. Even when it comes to a bug out bag, it's like, or, you know, a day bag, it's like, well, I might want this, and I might want that, and I might want this. And next thing that I know, it's just too much stuff. So you got to know when to cut it off, and that's a tough one.
Well, at that point, that would turn your van into a mobile operations center with all those radios. I don't even know if you could do that in a box. Maybe a crate. Ham shack in a crate. I could definitely see that. Kilo Echo 8, Lima, Altitre.
Yeah, I agree. It would be a big box. But that is actually the plans I have kind of for the van. Multi-band Go, you know, system in there. And I want to do maybe not so much in that van, but I want to get a nicer van for touring, and I want to, you know, travel and do ham radio on the go, you know, from parks on the air and all the fun things. But then it would also double as a really good, like, deployment van. So that's kind of what I want to do, but you might not always be able to be by where the van is. So part of my idea is to make it so that it's in the van, but also deployable, you know, in some sort of kit. So I really have to think long and hard about how I approach it all. So a little bit of patience is probably a good thing in that regard. And I'll do a lot of research and figure out what I think would be a good setup. Because I would like to have a lot of capabilities, so. But kind of a sight on wheels, as I've seen it referred to.
See, what I've always wanted to do was to get a tow behind the camper and, you know, be able to use it for, you know, like hunting and stuff along those lines, because I like to hunt in various remote-ish areas. But also the second use for it, I wanted to kind of have like a ham shack in it and set up. And wouldn't that be cool to be able to just drop a trailer in a parking lot and have a mobile radio, you know, command or center right out of your trailer with bathroom, power, and everything you need right there.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's one of the things I want too is, I have almost the same need, but instead of for hunting and all that, I need a gear trailer for scuba diving, because I have quite a bit of scuba gear, but I kind of figured that would be in the trailer, and maybe there'd be some, you know, provisions for. I don't know, various different things, but ideally, you know, the van would have all that for me, because I wouldn't always want to bring that trailer. But yeah, I've watched quite a bit. Like, I think Ham Radio Crash Course toured like a command center vehicle for the state that he lives in, I think it was, or maybe a different state. You know, there's a lot of videos and YouTube videos out there that'll make you drool of people's mobile command centers, and I definitely want one. So that would be sweet. We gotta get Tom KCAKO to let us tear apart his trailer and put a command center in there.
that would definitely be interesting. And you know. If you're willing to spend the money, they've come a long way with trailers. I went to a motorcycle rally a couple of years ago, and we camped there for 5 days in a tent. But our neighbors had a trailer that had its own little garage storage slash workshop in the back, and then the rest of it was for comforts and luxuries. So that was awesome. And as soon as you mentioned the scuba gear and stuff, that's exactly what I envisioned in my head.
Yeah, that's just, it'd be awesome to have that. I don't know if I ever will or can ever really put that together, but that would be fun. And I like watching those videos because they give me ideas on, you know, something for me to do. It's kind of like when you play a lottery ticket and you're like, you know, for the next 24 hours, you're thinking of all the things you would do if you won. That's how I feel when I watch those videos. It's like, oh, for the next 24 hours, all I can think about is how I'm going to build my vehicle. And then eventually the reality sets in that it's never going to happen.
Yeah, I believe I watched the ham radio crash course video on YouTube that you were talking about. I believe if it's the same one, the guy had a pickup truck with antennas everywhere. He was set up for ATRS. He was set up for ATRS. He was all sorts of set up everywhere. It was actually a pretty awesome truck. And it wasn't as cluttered as I thought it might be.
Yeah, well, I guess, so the one I watched was the States, you know, I think it might have been even for fire departments when they're responding to wildfires in California or something, and it was, you know, a state or government-funded command center truck, and it had, you know, multiple workstations for multiple different employees, multiple, you know, computer situations, and it's all air conditioned. It had radios at multiple different areas for everybody to be reaching out to, you know, other departments. And I just I couldn't help but drool over that one.
That is definitely not the one I watched, but that does sound pretty cool. And if I were to set something like that up, I'd probably go cheap. I'd probably pick up an old Chevy Express panel van and set up one wall just for, you know, computers, a table, and all that fun stuff. I mean, granted, it wouldn't be cheap, but it would definitely be a little less expensive than buying, like, a box truck or a bread truck, if you will, a Grumman. But it would definitely be interesting, and it would definitely be something cool to actually work in, even if we had access to something like that, just for a day. That would be cool. Kilo Echo, Lima Alpha, X-ray.
Okay, so I think I just found the vehicle, and that would be really cool. It's a YouTube account named Ned, and it's a mobile command vehicle tour, and it was at Expo 2024, and it looks like this might be the video, but nonetheless, it looks like a really nice one also.
Fair enough. Question for you. Do you dive for recreation and pleasure, or do you assist in like search and stuff along those lines?
So right now I dive mainly for recreation. I dive on shipwrecks and have fun with stuff like that. But I have done some things I've dove in the Huron River at the Barton Dam, and you like dive kind of on the dam intakes, and you remove all kinds of debris from the intake. It's a hydroelectric dam, so it needs water flow that it sees from the river. It needs water flow in order to produce electricity. And every, you know, 5 to 6 months, enough debris piles up in front of like the intake grates that they see a major reduction in their output, and so they hire divers to come in and remove that. So that's one of the things I've done. I've also been there when they removed the stop blocks and they pull those out. They have a big crane come out, and I have to connect the rigging underwater to these stop blocks. And it's pretty interesting to see. It's really, really neat. It's a little bit crappy diving because it's near zero visibility, and you're just moving sticks and dead fish and, you know, just anything that has ever been in the river and kind of is not buoyant, and it kind of runs along the bottom. It kind of builds up there, kind of like leaves in a corner, you know, of a parking lot build up and, you know, the concrete slabs. But then I've also done other stuff in the St. Clair River, also for intake grates for the water treatment facilities. A little bit for golf courses. I used to do it more like as a job, but now I kind of do it more for fun because I hated that I was not liking diving, so I kind of stopped doing it for a job and made it just a hobby. But I wouldn't mind doing volunteer public safety diving. It's kind of, again, I'm like a tech diver, and a lot of the configuration those guys use, we don't really agree with. And so I would do it, but I would want to be in my own gear configuration and dive the way I dive. But those guys, they're more like saturation divers where they stir it all up, they walk on the bottom, you know, and I have mastered my buoyancy. And I would rather, I ran out of time there, but I'd rather not do that. But I'm rambling on, so I'll send it over to you.
Well, I won't pretend to know a whole lot about diving and the equipment, but I was just curious because I know you were into it, and I know you had posted on the Discord a couple weekends ago that you had a trip, and it looked like you had a bunch of tanks out there getting ready. So I was definitely just curious.
Yeah, no, we went down to the Straits of Mackinac, or up to the Straits of Mackinac, and dove on a bunch of wrecks. And the deeper they are, the more gases you have to bring, because there's issues with gas density, and some gases can kind of get toxic at depth, and so you have to bring what you're going to need for the depths that you're going, and so that's kind of why there were so many different bottles in there. But yeah, it was a fun trip, and I like doing it for fun because then you actually get to, you know, see cool things instead of just, you know, branches. And it's a little dangerous, especially at the Barton Dam, you know. Anytime there's pressure differentials between, you know, here and there, there's some major dangers. So I didn't really care for the commercial diving so much.
Well, I can understand that, especially when you get into something that you got into because you really enjoyed, and then it starts to feel more like you're dreading the job rather than, you know, enjoying what you love. I can understand taking a step back. That makes perfect sense.
So what are your plans for the rest of the day? Doing any ham radio stuff? Working? Just hanging out?
I'm tossing it up. I just got back to the house. I'm dropping the daughter off at work because she does this co-op thing where they let her out of school at 1 o'clock, and then she goes to her job. She works at the famous footwear. So I just got back to the house, and I'm debating on either finishing some editing of her graduation photos, or I might hop on the bike and run and go check on things at the shop. I haven't quite decided yet.
I'm curious, what are you editing? Are you video editing or photo editing?
Photo. My niche is primarily still shots. I do play a little bit in video, but in my opinion, when you start getting used to like Lightroom and Photoshop, and then you start having to learn like Adobe Premiere and a lot of your photo editing stuff, a lot of it doesn't transfer over. So it's such an overload of information that I've just kind of stuck to the still stuff. I know a lot of people aim more for video nowadays, but I still think there's some value in photography in itself, and so I try my best to kind of only dabble a little bit in the videography side. KE8, LAX Special Region.
Nice, yeah. I got lucky, I guess you could say, in high school. I went to a school that had a radio and television class, and so I got introduced into mainly video early, and like really early, and it was really cool to see like the production, you know, methods and whatnot, and I really got kind of fell in love with Final Cut Pro back in the day. And so I like the video side. I started to dabble in the photography thing. I got really good with my camera, but I never got good with the software. So I imagine that if we put our heads together, we could probably make a pretty decent multimedia team. But yeah, I used to love editing. Editing was a lot of fun.
And editing. It's cool to see your world.
Yeah, I don't think we have it quite as bad as the people back in the film days, I kind of come from a similar mentality. I think you and I have talked about, you know, trying to get it right in the camera and not relying on post-production. So, and to me, that's more of the art of photography. I don't know that I would apply it as much to video, but when it comes to photography, you know, it's kind of all about the photographer's eye and his perspective and what, you know, he intended you to see. So, and to some degree, I think most of that needs to be done in the field, maybe a little bit in post-production, but especially as a photographer. If you're an illustrator, it's different.
And yeah, and I completely agree with you. And when you have your editing software, I mean, there is, you know, a lot of awesome stuff you can do. I mean, it's...
Yeah, it seems like you're starting to lose you a little bit because you're starting to fade, especially towards the end of that last one. I don't think I got it all, but I got the gist of it. And I keep forgetting ID. It's been a minute. KEAWUO. But, yeah, I will send it back over to you.
I'm still sitting in the car with the HP and the tiny antenna, so that might have been it. This is KE8LAX. But, yeah, like I said, you already get it. You said it right there. Just try to get it.
Yeah, I definitely lost you there, and there might have been another person. If so, go ahead.
Nothing heard, Katie. I'll copy now.
I'm picking you up real good. It's weird. It seems like it's strong a lot of the time, and then it just randomly fades out.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't know if it's the radio or not. This one is just kind of one of those throwaway radios, so I picked it up from my Facebook Marketplace for like $30, but you can't even put contact IDs in this radio. Back over to you.
Gotcha. I mean, for $30, it's doing pretty good, so I guess you can't complain too much. But that's amazing how these radios, how they get them to work for so cheap. Like, I couldn't even, I don't know how they make them so cheap.
Well, if you go over Tevis's website, it's like a $130 radio, but this guy bought them. He's up in Port Huron, and he runs a marina, and so he bought a whole bunch of them. But during COVID, he laid off a bunch of people, so he just had a bunch of extra radios and offed a couple of them. So I was like, yeah, I'll take one. Why not? I mean, it's DMR, and it's rugged as hell, so yeah. I just picked one up. It works well. I just I wish that I could figure out the roaming feature that it has, and I wish that I could put IDs in it. If I could put IDs in it, I would use this radio as my main radio.
Yeah, I hear that. I would love to find a person who is getting rid of some decent Motorola DMI radios that are capable of IP connect. Because I would certainly think about grabbing a couple, either mobile or HT technically, but yeah, I don't know. I need some of those. So hopefully I pick one up soon. Kind of been dragging my feet on it, but if there's anyone that has one, I would probably have to go for it.
Some day down the line, I might be interested in G5, but I'm not ready to make that financial jump. I like the HF stuff. I like the UHF VHF stuff, and DMR is awesome. I do actually really like it. But the P25, I've heard a couple people use it. I've seen you demonstrate it, especially last night. And it's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. But on the same note, the cost.
So you said it, and I heard it, but I didn't understand it. The very last thing you said, you know, you liked it, but something. It came through. I just misunderstood, or I don't know. I couldn't quite grasp what you said. But it is expensive, you know. But there are cheaper ways to get into it. You know, you can get an XTX 5000 for like $400 or $500. That's in pretty good shape on eBay. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't kill yourself trying to get a P25 just to have one. But I'm obviously a fan of it, but it's not for everybody, and that's okay.
I'm moving positions now, KEHLAX. Yeah, well, you'll be the first one to know, being that you and KCAKJ.com seem to be pretty well-versed in P25. You guys will probably be the first to know when I did get one.
Yeah, that'd be cool. It's one of those things, just maybe keep an eye out, put a listing or a save search on eBay, and if something pops up that just seems like it's a great idea or a great deal, then scoop it up and, you know, then put it on the shelf, and, you know, when you get time, you know, try to put a code plug in it and see if you can get it to work, and if so, great. If not, you know, hopefully you got a good deal for it. but yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of thinking about getting I've never used the XTX 5000, so I'm kind of thinking about getting one, just try it out, see what I think of it, and then I'll probably sell it to someone that wants to get into P25, but we'll see. I don't know.
I didn't catch that station's call, but go ahead.
E-R-U-H, it's Anthony. How are you guys doing?
I am great, Anthony. It's good to hear from you and hear you on the DMR side. How have you been liking it over here so far?
It's been pretty good. I was just thrilled to actually get my code plug working last week, and so it's been fun to hang out over here. I'm able to hit the repeaters inside my house, so I can be on an HT inside my house where I can't really hit a single repeater on an HT from my house, so this is pretty awesome.
Yeah, that is very, very cool. Glad you're enjoying it. This is KE8LAX. Just for instance, your audio, on my end at least, seems very hot, very loud.
Yeah, it did seem a little loud on my side. I think I turned it down. I'm kind of used to that with DMR, unfortunately. It seems a little bit tricky to get everybody on the same audio level. But that's weird. It's not quite that way everywhere. I'm extremely that way on DMR.
I've been trying to adjust it. Everybody, IP Connect. I'm not sure if the 7550E has that, but if we figure out that it does, I may have access to a couple of those that are in rough shape, and I'm sure we can figure something out.
Bro, I'll have that one for you. KE8LAX.
Okay, yeah, I believe that is the radios that we got from the county for ARPSC, and I'm pretty sure they definitely have the IP Connect. I'm Googling it right now, but yeah, if you've got one, I would definitely love to play with it. I'd buy one off you just so that I can, use the two radios to talk to each other type of thing and test out the features. I really like having two of one, especially digital radios, so I can, try the text messaging features and try all the various different things. And then, it'd just be a good learning tool for me. So, yeah, I would be interested. Over to you, Ann.
Cool. Let me see. We had some at work. Let me see if they're still around. And we can try to connect next week. I'll message you in Discord and see what we can, if we can make something work. I'm sure we can. This is KE8RU8. I just hopped in to say that, John. So I will continue to monitor, but I'll let you guys continue chatting. I need to get back to work, unfortunately. I got about an hour and a half left of this fantastic Friday. I'll catch up with you gentlemen soon. KE8RU8.
KE8RU8. 7-3, enjoy the rest of your day, and we will hear you on the air soon. Back over to you, John.
Okay, yeah. Well, thank you very much. And the short answer is yes, it does support the IP Connect, so that would be perfect. So, all right, well, thank you for jumping in, and don't work too hard, and hope to talk to you again soon.
Actually, John, I'm going to hop off here and say 73s as well. I'll be monitoring and I'll be around, but I gotta run in the house and take care of a couple things. And then I think I'm actually going to do some of that editing because the schools are very picky on exactly what dates they want all their stuff for yearbooks and a bunch of other stuff.
Well, that's cool. That's a good problem to have. You got some work you got to do, and hopefully, it sounds like you'll have something to show for it. Your pictures are in a yearbook, so that's awesome. Congrats.
Oh, don't worry. I have to take them, edit them, and pay to have them in the book because it's my senior that I'm putting her photos in, so I got to pay for it and take them, but that's okay. That's all right. She got some special stuff. I had a friend with a really nice modified Hellcat, and I was able to get some photos with her and that. So she'll have some interesting stuff out there.
Well, very cool. All right. Well, I will hopefully, potentially, see you this Sunday, and I'll stay 73 for now. This is KE8WUO. I'll be standing by monitoring.
73s, and as soon as you figure out your times, let me know about Sunday when you figure that out with yourself and Darren, and we'll go from there. It is KE8LAX, clear and monitoring.
KGKGO.
This is KE8WUO.
KE8LAX, statewide one.
KE8WUO. N2PWN from KE8WUO. N2PWN from KE8WUO. Matthew, are you out there? KE8WUO, clear.
NAWRO, monitoring.
Why, hello there, sir. I just got my first text message on DMR, so that was kind of interesting. I'm not sure who the guy was, but he must have heard me a lot on the radio and decided to send me a message. So I tried to send one back, but it didn't go through both times, so I'm not sure what he did right, but I'm doing wrong.
Well, that's what pointed me to look at the radio. I might have got something, too. I got 321-9892, I think. I have to look it up. NAWRO.
Yeah, I got that, too. Cool. Well, he must know us and want to send us messages. It's a Matthew C. Janik from Novi. His call sign is N2PWN. He must have sent us some text messages and then threw his radio against the wall.
Yeah, because I had, for the longest time, I had a little envelope icon sitting there on the screen. On this Kinect system, there's not much room on the screen. It's like a Motorola. And I'm thinking, okay, there's got to be a way to get to that. So I'm sitting here playing around with it. And sure enough, this kind of a ringtone comes in. I don't even think I had the antenna turned on, so I really don't know how that happened. But, more mysteries to try to figure out about this service. I love it. How are you doing today, John?
Not too bad. I'm glad to be out of work, and I just stopped and had some real healthy Jet's pizza eight corner, so that was a wise decision. I'll probably have some heartburn tonight. But I'm thinking about going to Stony Creek this weekend. Sounds like there's possible for Darren and Dean to show up. I'll probably put it in the Discord. But kind of plan to mess around with Winlink, both VHF, UHF, and HF, and try to revive some of my HF skills, because it's been basically the whole season since I played with it. So Darren motivated me to pull it out today, and I don't think either one of us had much success, so it's time to pull it out and dust the cobwebs off a little bit more and see what I can find out.
Yeah, I think I was taking a look at some of that on Discord. Stony Creek would be great, especially, I assume locally that would be the Oakland County site, getting on the other side of the mountain, so to speak. Not really a mountain, but the high ground, I guess. I didn't do it yet, but my endeavor was going to be right at the entrance of the park level. You don't even have to go in necessarily, but then again, if you have a pass, then I imagine you might be able to set up and do, I don't know, it's not quite POTA, but the equivalent of like what we did over at the airport, just kind of set up and see what you can get. But I'd be interested, if you guys have any success, make sure you post it on Discord at the Oakland County Station. I don't know exactly what it means when it says it's a hybrid station. That sounds interesting to me. So, I'd be interested. I got stuff to do this weekend, but, boy, I'd sure be interested if you guys have success. And then that's the other thing, too. You kind of alluded to it. I think we should identify who's comfortable with actually doing, Winlink, be it telenet or be it on the air, whatever way you want to do it for October 4th. Over to you, John.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame that Macomb County's gateways don't seem to be up and running, because it would sure be nice if we had something, capturing the Winlink messages, especially for this net or set. But then otherwise, just for training purposes, it's kind of unfortunate that we all have to reach all the way out to Detroit or St. Clair. That puts some of us in a pretty big dead zone, especially for the VHF, UHF. So One of these days, I hope they can get that up and running, or maybe I can find a way to make a gateway. I hear they're not cheap, but yeah, it'd be really awesome to have something that we could dependably test on, you know, that we don't have to drive to St. Clair or up to a mountain to, you know, to a quote unquote mountain to get a line of sight to it.
Well, I can share a little background on that. You know, Paul, right? He's the former EC. We have the equipment. The radio exists. And I'll use the code word. It's up on 13 in the Clem. So we have everything we need. It's just apparently a time factor to get it going. And I think what maybe slowed it down a little is the, I'm just guessing here, but is the realization that RF wind link doesn't score higher than telnet wind link. So in my estimation, and I'm, you know, just projecting here, I'm not really sure, I think that kind of lowered it. My goal now is everything runs slow, right? So my goal now would be for the spring set 2026, let's try to make that happen. And I know there was a volunteer session of work a couple months ago where we had to move batteries up there. I'm hoping that same session, I couldn't make it, that they move the radio equipment and it's up there in that particular area that it needs to be deployed at. So, yeah, we can ask Dave at our meeting and see where that's at. But it's not going to be for this set, I'll tell you that. I'd be happy if it was for spring. Over to you.
Yeah, I agree. I would be thrilled if it was for spring just because, you know, I understand what they're, you know, getting at. But, you know, one of the keys of WinLink is for our, you know, HF or VHF and or RF versions, so that if we're at our houses and we can't really get out otherwise, you know, we can, and we have no power, we could do a WinLink message and get that out to, you know, the powers that be and let them know. Because more than likely the command center or whatever will have WinLink or, you know, internet, but it's possible, like after a tornado or something, that I can't get out of my basement, you know, and we have no power, but I can send a WinLink message to the gateway. So, I don't know. It's like a whole lot of what-ifs and, you know, stuff hitting the fan type of thing. So I don't like to, you know, speculate or whatever, overdo it with that kind of language, but that's kind of what we're all here for. So I don't know. It'd just be nice to have it going, something that we could test to see how reliable that method is. And but yeah, I don't know. I think it'd be sweet. That'd be great. If I could help, I would love to.
Yeah, that was my feeling exactly. After, I guess it was after, or maybe it was before. I'm forgetting my memory here on this. When we realized that, I realized that our WinLink gateway is down. I guess at some point we didn't know that, because when we had Riley here to, you were here for that meeting, when Riley did the first demonstration, we were under the impression it was still working from, you know, previous days. But long story short, no, it was down and it needed to be put back up. And so I'm looking at my notes here, and on the Central Michigan's website, if you look at the proper page, it's K8BTX number 6. So it's very similar to, I think, Detroit's, but we're dash 6, and I guess it's 145.090. And it has another identifier from Central Michigan of MI7MTC. Okay, that makes sense. It's MI7 is their code for WinLink, and MTC, of course, is Mount Clemens. So, yeah, I think, you know, we can do that. If there's a work session that needs to be done, I'm sure you and I would volunteer to, and then we'll get Tom in there or somebody with, you know, good RF experience. We'll lift things up. We'll push things around. We'll do whatever we need to do to get it up on the air.
Yeah, I agree. I will do whatever I can. I got I got a hammer drill bits, cordless drill, saw saws, you know, whatever we need. But I doubt that's what they need. But if that is, I'm your guy.
So it'd probably be best if we go through Dave, and this is what we can do. So, you know, Monday we can bring it up. If I forget, go ahead and, you know, just remind me or tell them direct. And then it'd be Sean and Paul. Those three guys, Dave, Sean, and Paul. And it can get done. It's not going to get done for this set. Probably won't get done this year. But, I mean, it'd be nice to put a target on. I did have a conversation with Sean about 6 months ago. He says we have the equipment. We just need to get the time to install it. So it's probably not us, but he's happy. I think we can be helpers, but they actually do the actual installation. So in other words, it's on the radar. I predict 2026, hopefully by spring, before the spring set. That would be a nice little goal, but we'd have to ask, see if that's possible. Oh, did I not transmit, last transmit?
Sit down and play with the radio for a whole day. During the summer, it's hard to do just because how business first started, and with all the other hobbies that I have.
You went a little digital on that one, but I got most of it, and I did want to comment, yes, I think every county needs to have their gateway. If WinLink is a viable tool for, you know, MCOM, which it is, then we all have to have our own gateway. So we need to have a gateway, and I'm sure it will happen.
Yeah, I agree. You know, something, I forget the gentleman's name, but during our meeting we had a guy that Dave had talked to the group in regards to a parade that's coming up in like March of next year, and he mentioned sending packets from the start of the parade to the back of the parade so that people could communicate, you know, the order of which the vehicles would be coming down the line. And I found that to be interesting because I think that sounds a lot like a transaction, which could work in place of WinLink right now. Like, we don't have WinLink going, but if we could have a person or a station that's monitoring a packet frequency, then you know, and maybe even if we make a procedure for that, like if the WinLink is down and we're in an emergency, to make sure a station is monitoring a packet, you know, a dedicated packet radio emergency frequency, that seems like a decent idea.
Yeah, I did pick up on that in his talk. I picked up on that point. Thought that was interesting, but I also thought he said something about they signed out county radios on the MPSC system, because I know those exist. And then I think he said they don't do it anymore because it's a lot to do or whatever. But wait a minute. They're able to do that? It'd be nice if we did that too.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. If you go to like Sound Modem's website, when you download the sound, you can do packet right through their applications, but they even have a test and may be able to send you messages, you know, essentially simplex, and play chess against you. But then the same thing is true for just random messages. So I don't think it takes a lot of infrastructure. I think it's basically, you know, you download the software and it's just a peer-to-peer simplex packet transaction. So I don't know if that was on the city systems, but definitely the government or whatever, the city, the county, probably has radios that they sign out. Warren Cert does that, and they have a few different versions, but they're just surplus, radios from the county. They're nothing special. They definitely don't have like packet, any of that kind of stuff in them that I'm aware of. Like, I definitely am not an expert.
I left a little pause because I could have sworn I heard Wally throw his call sign out on FBI. I wonder if he's back. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's Friday. He might be back. But, anyways, just the MPSCS radios. I remember them talking about it. It'd be nice to get that. You know, one thing, you were talking about this, and one thing I want to share with you, I'm not sure if I did. There's a video out there, and I'll send it to you by your email, of the particular town that I'm in and the tower going up, the FBI tower, and it's the same tower with our 7.2 receiver on it. It's when it went up, and they explained what they were doing with the microwave dishes and everything. Did you ever see that?
Left a small gap if anyone wanted to join in, but I did not see that. I would be very interested in that. That seems like it would definitely pique my interest. This is KE8WUO with N8WRO.
I tried to leave a nice long gap there. But so, hey, John, if you're interested, I will send that right now. Can we take about a 5-minute? Well, if you want to, I'll send it right now because I'd be interested in your interpretation on what they're talking about. The guy talks pretty fast. He's a friend of Sean, and you'll see it. The internet capabilities, the redundant internet capabilities for hams, their vision of the future, so to speak, I'd be interested in you interpreting that for me on the other side of the video, and I'll leave Statewide 1 on. We'll reconvene if that's okay with you.
Yeah, sure. That sounds good to me. I'll real quick and tell you what my takeaways are.
Excellent. And again, I'll watch it again myself to refresh my memory. Yeah, I should have it to your email within under 5 minutes, and I will be monitoring Statewide 1 for afterwards. NAWRO, leaving the QSO for now, after you, John. Understood. NAWRO.
This is KE8WUO, N8WRO. Are you still out there, Tim?
Yes, sir. N8WRO here. So what did you think? Yeah, I thought that'd be right up your alley, so to speak. So let's see, 5 to 6 megahertz, point-to-point link. That's phase 1. Phase 2 is point-to-multi-point link. Could maybe talk about that. And what is public IPv4 space? What does that mean?
Well, it's kind of like an internet protocol. It basically, as far as I understand it, it allows networking between computers. And so the point-to-point, I believe, is just connecting one point to another point, which is, I think, their initial goal. But I think their long-term goal is to kind of mesh them so that there can be, like, hops between sites so that, a message here could, hop over to Richmond that would then send it over to Lapeer, and you kind of get that daisy chain of those, dishes pointing at each other, transferring that message where it needs to go in the network, is my understanding.
That sounds so cool. This video is a little dated, so that's phase 1. We got to be like phase 2. Anyways, we're not going to be totally involved in that, but our group will be partially involved in that, or at least reap the benefits of it. Like when the hospital nets go up, and this is the redundancy that I kind of wanted to show you, is that, the commercial internet is one thing, But then we also have this as a backup for MCOM. And granted, if one of the towers, let's just say like hypothetically, a weather takes out one of the towers, okay, well, then that would be bad. But, you know, I don't know. Nevertheless, it's still there, and it's just awesome. I really support their work in HWRO.
Yeah. I gave a pause there because I thought I heard someone trying to break in. And then I keyed up, and it was giving me the bonk. So if there's another station out there, give it another shot. Heard nothing, but this is KE8WUO. Yeah, I think, you know, the way they're making their mesh network and connecting all these sites, the more of them they put in, I believe, the more routes the message has to reach a destination. So unless you're kind of on the outskirts of something, you know, odds are the network would be fairly robust enough to lose a node here and there, for lack of a better term. And then that most of the traffic would still reach its destination. But that does explain a bit as to why a few people have sort of disregarded or not, you know, really, you know, they're not as concerned about the commercial internet as I would have been before watching that video.
In HWRO, I've also heard the term, and, you know, it would be nice to get some continuing education about this, so maybe we'll talk to Dave about it and have a guest appearance by, you know, Sean or somebody at some point next year. It'd be nice. Or even, you know, what was the, oh, it was a hardened backbone. In other words, that's kind of like a public safety term, too, so that I think this is the redundancy issue we're talking about. So, but yeah, real interesting. I can't say enough about it. I'm looking forward to, I think they're not sure if it's going to be this year, but next year we should get hopefully the DMR repeater in the Richmond site there. They'll install that. But I believe that does require tower work, so therefore, you know, they got to do it when they can get to it. So, good thing. Again, I always say, good things come to those who wait, because it wasn't that long ago there was cricket and tumbleweeds up here. There was no ham radio towers whatsoever, and all of a sudden I got a lot over here. So it's very much so appreciated. Over to you, John.
Yeah, that sounds cool, and that is true. You know, good things come to those who wait. We will be patient, but yeah, I like the idea of them coming out and you know, talking to the group one of these days. But I really like the idea of a field trip. That sounds fun.
Yeah, that would be good, and then. Our own, well, see, we've been at St. Clair County EOC, right? And we think that's kind of cool. But we want to go down to Macomb's, we'll wait till we see Macomb's. So I think we need a field trip down Gratiot to see Macomb's. Yeah, I retired in 2010, so that building wasn't even there when I was still working. So, yeah, I haven't been on the inside myself. I've seen pictures of it. But, yeah, we need a field trip down there, and you know, this is how, so to speak, the RF sausage is made. This is inside antenna transmitting towers and buildings and service buildings and stuff, and that's cool in one regard. But then you want you know, inside the actual EOC, well, that's going to be even fun too. So, all right, sounds good, John. I'm going to probably call it a night for tonight, but I wanted you to see that because I thought you'd probably end up watching it again because I watched it like, 5 times, you know, once I saw it, I was like, what? That one guy, he's a good guy, but he talks pretty fast, so I had to kind of watch it twice or something. But NAWRO, after you, and perhaps we'll talk tomorrow. Hope you guys have good luck, too, if you go windling hunting tomorrow.
Well, very good. Thank you, sir. Thanks for the video. I appreciate it, and I believe the windling hunting will be Sunday. So if you can make it, you're more than welcome. But for now, this is KEAWUO, and I will be clear.
Understood. Sunday. NAWRO.